Reb David Tzvi Chen now recounted something that he had heard from his father Reb Peretz Chen, who in turn had heard it from the aged chassid Reb Yaakov of Haradok, who had received it from the mouth of the Rebbe Reb Menachem Mendel of Haradok as follows. The Baal Shem Tov was born on Chai Elul in the year Tof Nun Ches, 1698. These three Hebrew letters, when rearranged, comprise the words Chason and Nachas, as explained in section 1 above. The year that the Baal Shem Tov was born saw the second printing of Shnei Luches Habris, the Shalach HaKadosh, in Amsterdam. At this time, a stern edict was mooted in the heavenly court against the Jewry of Poland, exactly as has been in the case when the work was first published. While the printing was then still in progress, readers bought the work section by section. The hearts of many Jews were ignited, and an evil eye took effect. And soon after came the massacres of 1648 and 1649. The year of the second printing, however, the year in which the Baal Shem Tov was born, was Baruch Hashem a year of repose. For the first 26 years of his life, he had the outward appearance of an ordinary individual. For 10 years his holy mentor taught him, and then became revealed. And for 26 years he was a leader of his brethren. Reb David Tzvi Chen further told of another statement of Reb Menachem Mendel of Haradok, which had likewise been passed down by the latter's close disciple, Reb Yaakov of Haradok. It once happened that during the festive meal of Shavuos, Reb Menachem Mendel was wrapped in the ecstatic state of Dveikus. In due course, he quoted a verse from Tehillim, Yedea Hashem Yemei Temimim, Hashem knows the days of the perfect ones, and began to expound its component phrases homiletically as follows. Yedea Hashem, the name of Hashem can be known through Yemei Semimim, the days of the perfect ones, who draw godliness down into this world and connect it with godliness. For through this activity one renders the world complete and realizes a divine will. The Baal Shem Tov lived twice 26 years and once 10 years. The first 26 years correspond to the numerical value of the letters comprising the hidden name of Hashem, which explains why during those years he was a hidden tzaddik. The later 26 years correspond to the numerical value of the letters comprising the revealed name of Hashem. And this is why at this stage in his life he was revealed. But in order that it should be possible for him to be revealed, he had to pass through the series of 10 spheres. This corresponds to the middle 10 years of his life. The above verse in Tehillim concludes, V'nachalosam la'olam tiyeh, their heritage shall be forever. And indeed, with the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, we will come to our holy land. With this, Reb Menachem Mendel rose and broke out in a joyful dance. At this point, the Rebbe cited an exposition of the above teaching on the hidden and revealed names of Hashem, propounded by a chassid named Reb Lev Hoffman, and coached in part in the learned terminology of Kabbalah. The Rebbe then proceeded to quote an episode recounted by Reb Lev. Once, when I was in the presence of the Rebbe Maharash at Yechidus, Reb Lev Hoffman recalled, I had asked for a clarification on various points encountered in my studies, and had made a mental note of certain further queries. However, since I had been in the Rebbe's study longer than the time allotted for me by the Gabbai Reb Levik Misharis, who determined the order of entry, even though the Rebbe spoke to me in a cheerful manner, answering all my queries clearly and at length, I made a move towards the door, because Reb Levik had by now opened it twice. The Rebbe then gave me his blessing and looked at me at length and said, Leib, you are thinking about the Baal Shem Tov. What do you want to ask? Ask. So I said, I have a notion that the Baal Shem Tov, the Mezritcher Magid, and the Alter Rebbe represent the Keser, Chachma, and Bina of Chassidus. A change overcame the Rebbe's face. Elated, the Rebbe stood up from his chair and said, This is the case only in the general manner of the revelation above. That is, it is true of the sequence in which the teachings of Chassidus were progressively revealed from the higher levels to the lower. From our perspective, the Baal Shem Tov, the Mezritcher Magid, and the Alter Rebbe are the Keser, Chachma, and Bina of Chassidus. And in practice, this is what is apparent to the observer. The manner of the revelation of the Baal Shem Tov parallels the manner of the revelation of Keser, first being concealed, then revealing itself. And in its revelation encompassing like a crown from above all levels equally, from the loftiest to the nethermost. So too was the manner of the revelation of the Baal Shem Tov, being at first concealed and then revealing himself. And in his revelation adopting the mode of Makif Klali, an all-encompassing mode of revelation which transcends in equal measure the loftiest levels and the nethermost. So that from the perspective, there was no distinction of degree between the occasion when his soul would ascend to the realms above, and the occasion when he would reveal himself in a miraculous incident in this world. In the course of that same visit by the delegation of Elder Hasidim to my home soon after my marriage, Rabbi Yaakov Mordechai Bespalov recounted that once while at Echidus, he asked the Rebbe Marash to elaborate on certain points that had been raised during the Maimer of the preceding Shabbos, concerning the definition of the term Adam Kadmon. In reply, the Rebbe had told him to study the discourse in the Kutei Torah, which opens with the words L'Mnatzeach al Hashminis, and had then said, "Ask my son," in other words, the Rebbe Rashab, "for the unpublished explanation of this Maimer." Here is a recorded brief but involved exchange between the Rebbe Marash and his Chassid of Yaakov Mordechai, which connects the definition of the term under discussion with the path in Aveda taught by the Alter Rebbe. Rebbe Yaakov Mordechai concluded his account of that Yechidus by quoting the words with which the Rebbe Marash closed the discussion of the Alter Rebbe. "And he was the Rebbe, and when there is a Rebbe, there are Chassidim." With these words, Rabbi Yaakov Mordechai broke down in such bitter tears that all those present were amazed. They tried to calm him from his sobbing, but to no avail. Until Reb Leib Hoffman said, "Come now, this is a time of threefold joy. It is the birthday of the Baal Shem Tov, it is the day on which the Baal Shem Tov was revealed, and our Rebbe is celebrating the marriage of his only son. Is this a time to cry? Rav of Poltava, it's time to do teshuva." And with this, he began to sing a niggun. He had a wonderful voice, and all of his companions joined in. Reb David Tzvi Chein, Reb Shalom Reb Hillels, and Reb Usher Grossman then rose from the table and began to dance. They were soon joined by all the others, all that is, except for Reb Yaakov Mordechai, who sat with his hand in his head in his hands, still weeping. The other elder Hasidim returned to the table and filled glasses for the Chaim. And while they were so occupied, his crying ceased, but he said in a tearful voice, "The Rebbe told me then, when there is a Rebbe, there are Hasidim." Rabbi Yaakov Mordechai then resumed his account of the words with which the Rebbe Marash had concluded that Yechidus. That is, Hasidim who are active in Avodah. But if one is a chassid who is not a chassid, this causes a rebbe to cease being a rebbe. The Alter Rebbe was a rebbe, so he made chassidim. And the chassidim, through being chassidim and men of deeds in the realm of divine service that stems from the heart, gave strength to the rebbe. Yesterday I recounted that the 3 hours which the Alter Rebbe inadvertently came to spend in the home of one of his opponents, immediately after his release, caused him more anguish than his entire imprisonment. And I said too that when he was brought the tidings of his impending release, he did not want to leave the fortress. The whole episode of the imprisonment came about with the consent of the Alter Rebbe. And indeed, not only the Alter Rebbe, but every tzaddik likewise rules over all material matters. What the Torah has to say about the created universe is decisive. All temporal matters are subject to the dominion of the Torah. It follows that whatever is due to befall a tzaddik takes place only with his consent. And this is, of course, includes the imprisonment of the Alter Rebbe. Had the Alter Rebbe not been agreeable, he would not have been arrested. As witness his journey to Petersburg, on Friday, the black wagon remained stationary, and harnessed by 4 horses to it did not help the slightest. The wagon did not budge because the Alter Rebbe did not want it to. 6 hours before candlelighting time, the Alter Rebbe did not want to travel any further. So the wagon stopped in its tracks. When the general and the gendarmes understood that this was no simple matter, for an axle had suddenly broken. And when it was repaired, one of the horses collapsed, and when fresh horses were brought, they were unable to drag the wagon an inch. They asked the Alter Rebbe's permission to travel on as far as a nearby village. When he declined, they asked him to allow them to move the wagon to a field at the roadside. To this, he agreed, and that is where they spent Shabbos. This spot is 2 or 3 viyorst from the Saliba Rudinya, which is near the town of Nevel. The chassid known as the Ezra Michal used to relate that he knew chassidim who were able to point out the exact spot at which the Alter Rebbe had spent that Shabbos. In fact, he had gone there himself to see it with his own eyes. All the way there, he had seen drooping old trees on both sides of the road. But near that spot where the wagon had stopped for Shabbos stood a tall tree with luxuriant foliage. And whenever a Michal used to recall that moment and would describe the sight in detail, his soul would light up with a noble awakening of pious awe. Indeed, the recollection of the tree did more to arouse his soul than the study of a whole moral tract in Chassidus does to a certain Chassidim today. I would like to mention something parenthetically. It does not directly concern the present narrative, but it is relevant to the whole makeup of Chassidim. It is something that affects oneself, one's wife, and one's children, may they be blessed with good health. It is said that everything depends on the heart, and the heart depends on the purse. Now the root and source of the Aveda of Chassidim has always been rubbing shoulders with elder Chassidim. Everyone knows that if you want your house to be warm, you have to heat the stove. If one yearns for the ardor of holiness, zeal in the performance of a mitzvah, and a relish in the study of the Torah, then one must heat the stove. That is to say, arouse one's heart. And this can be accomplished only through close and humble contact with Chassidim who tackle their life tasks energetically. This then is what is meant by the phrase, everything depends on the heart. The heart, however, depends in turn on the purse. Heat alone will not suffice. It needs to be supplemented by ready cash, tangible merchandise. This is to say, the hours set aside daily for Torah study must be scrupulously guarded. Each hour of study is of consequence to oneself and to one's entire household. There are those whose affairs at the moment are all being conducted on a credit basis. The heart is there, to be sure. It succeeds in drawing its possessor to a chassidische verbringen. He feels more ever that he is being aroused. But what is still lacking is hard cash, the fixed time set aside for study Torah. Everyone needs to know, and everyone knows, that a Jew's good-heartedness, and in particular a chassid's good-heartedness, as expressed according to the Torah, is a wellspring of happiness in family life. This is the greatest of all blessings. It is well known that a pure family life, as directed by the Torah, is one of the happiest things known to all mankind. And this can be arrived at only through the fixing of times for Torah study in the company of good friends. Though this subject has now been raised only by the way, parenthetically, it warrants close attention, for it is vital to the life of the sons and daughters of all the house of Israel, and to their children likewise.